For this week's bonus episode of Retronauts, the Video Game History Foundation's Steve Lin joins us to talk about miscellaneous handheld systems, portable game systems that will never give a full episode. If you enjoy this dive into obscurity, you can listen to the full episode by going to patreon.com/retronauts and supporting us at the $5 per month exclusive content tier. In addition to bi-weekly bonus episodes, you'll also get access to weekly This Week in Retro columns penned by Diamond Fight, opportunities to participate in Retronauts podcasts, and more. So check us out again at patreon.com/retronauts and enjoy this snippet. Yeah, a ball and cup was basically a wooden cup on a wooden stick, and it had a string attached to it. And on the other end of the string was a little wooden ball, or plastic ball, as came along later. And the goal there was just to toss the ball into the air and catch it with the cup. It's not very complicated, but, you know, in the days before television, that's kind of how you found your entertainment. It was better than, I don't know, picking fleas off cattle or whatever people did for fun back then.
Yeah. My grandmother would take us to Amish country a lot because we live near Amish country, and I swear – we would go to these Amish toy stores, and I think every toy was based on ball and cup. And I just thought, you poor bastards. I get to go home to Nintendo, and you have like five variants on ball and cup.
Oh, that's all right. We both grew up in Ohio because I was going to have the same memory.
Oh, really? So, okay. Yeah. I also didn't have to help like raise barns or do like field work or whatever.
On the other hand, they had some badass quilts. What did you have, Bob?
That's true, but which one of us are podcasters now? Yeah. Are there any Amish podcasters?
There might be.
Prove me wrong.
Speaking into a tin cup and a string.
Well, no. They have like rollerblades and cell phones. So it's just variations on existing technology or something. Mm. Boy, we are going off the rails here.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all good.
From
this kind of toy, I think there was a pretty big revolution in toy manufacturing in the 1950s and 1960s. You know, basically after World War II, as commerce expanded, became more global, manufacturing expanded, became more efficient, and of course, above all, relevant to this, plastics evolved from fragile and brittle melamine to the modern plastics we know today. It became very inexpensive to mass produce objects very consistently, very reliably, and they tended to be fairly durable compared to, you know, something handmade. And even if a ball and cup, which was made of wood, was more durable, it, you know, had to be crafted by hand or, you know, machined, and it was more expensive, whereas plastic toys could be much cheaper. So, you know, you started to get things like plastic ball and cups. But you also got things like Ultra Hand, created by Nintendo, who had spent the 1950s and 1960s saying, what the hell are we as a company? Are we into instant rice? Are we into sex hotels? We don't know. Let's try a little bit of all of it. And a guy named Gunpei Yokoi created a little gadget in his spare time and impressed the company president, Hiroshi Yamauchi, so much that Yamauchi was like, let's make this a product. Let's put it out. Let's mass manufacture it. And that was Ultra Hand. And I never owned an Ultra Hand, but I definitely as a kid had something that was derived from Ultra Hand. I assume, I don't know, Steve, did you have anything like that?
So when I was a kid, I didn't have an Ultra Hand, but I do now. And the rubber tips are kind of like
– I'm sure they're –
yeah, they're crumbled, dried out and crumbling. But yeah, I had very similar toys back in the day, and I think I still dig them out every once in a while when you're a toy collector. So
do you want to describe how an Ultra Hand works?
Well, it's basically like a scissor mechanism, and like when you squeeze one end, it just extends out, and then at the very end are little grippy hands that grab onto things. And so included in the box, I think, were little stands and a little ball, or two of them, and you just kind of move things from one to another. I think on the box itself, there's kids like stealing some guy's wallet.
Or like a briefcase.
Yeah.
I mean, I never used one of these, but it looks like it's just engineered to pick up the little sort of pawn-looking things that come with it, really.
Right. Yeah, but the cover promises, like, you know, live a life of crime, cast down the hoi polloi, and become the Robin Hood of the neighborhood.
The child revolution has begun.
Yes, exactly.
With Ultra Hand.
Rise up, comrades. The Ultra Hand shall become the Ultra Fist.
Yeah.
But in addition to major gadgets like this, which were really cool and innovative, you also had toys that began to be manufactured. And these start to look a little more like what we think of as handheld games, except, of course, they weren't electronic. They were just pieces of plastic where you had various feats of dexterity to perform. So the one I put on here is the Jiggle Puzzle, where it's a basically a plastic tray with a clear plastic lid. So everything is sealed inside, and the plastic tray has little holes in it. And then you have several balls, little plastic balls or maybe steel balls or something, inside the plastic container. And your goal is just to land those balls, roll them around on the tray until they fall into the holes, and you get different scores based on which target you manage to hit. Like if you manage to get the moon and give the moon a nose, you get a double score. Otherwise, if you land on Venus for some reason, maybe just it's misogyny, you get no score.
These were always party favors when I was a kid, and I hated them because they were not fun and they were cheap. And I was spoiled and had a Game Boy. But I see you have next Labyrinth.
Yep. These could not be sold now.
Why? Choking hazard or
no.
Just frustration?
Because these were – well, I guess this one's just like a little ball. But the ones that I had as a kid, they had Quicksilver inside. They had mercury, like a little blob of mercury. And I get there was like a dusting or something on the surface of the labyrinth to cause the mercury to roll really cleanly. And you would just, again, use gravity to roll the ball of mercury around to find the target.
Well, the one I had was a wooden set that had two knobs and the wooden
pivots.
Yeah.
That's a different kind of labyrinth.
That's like an old school, really old school labyrinth game, right?
Yeah, with the holes.
Yeah.
So you had to avoid the holes.
And each one is numbered, so you know how far you can make it. Like, I think that is why I enjoy Dark Souls now, because I grew up just banging my head against Labyrinth and getting to like hole 9 and never getting past it. But I have so much familiarity with these really old toys, and I'm not that old.
No, I mean I think they still sell a lot of these because they are good for kids, you know. They're not as exciting as Fortnite, but they are good for kind of developing dexterity. And, you know, if you're stuck somewhere and you've got nothing to do, when you're a kid, you can focus more on things like this and be entertained for a while by something simplistic like rolling a blob of mercury around and then opening up the case and eating the mercury and seeing what happens.
Getting superpowers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure that's how it works.